You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Most of my poems are kind of some mix of, you know, personal poetry and comedy. Yeah, they're pretty much all the same, about the same thing, actually. It's occasionally I have one, you know, one or two that are about pop culture, but they just tend to be like your standard poems about, you know, all of my fascinating thoughts and feelings.
A lot of media has focused, since you've put out the book, on how much sex and love poems there are in the book. Why do you think that that is?
Why has the media focused on it, or why have I written like that?
Both, actually.
Well, I mean, I've kind of written those poems. Partly, but like it's kind of funny because when I write the collection, I kind of didn't think that people would pick up on the sex stuff as much as they did. Like, there's a couple of poems in there that I knew would raise a few eyebrows, but most of the time when I mention sex, it's kind of like a, you know, like it's just a dirty joke thrown in. They're not kind of these really huge revealing things about my intimate life. But I guess it's like a good selling point for the media or whatever. But yeah, it surprised me how kind of shocking some people still thought that was. And love poems, love poems were always my favourite, and that there was this kind of this feeling when I was writing the collection that you weren't really supposed to write love poems unless you'd kind of earned your stripes a bit more, you know. But they've always been the poems that I kind of read the most. Like, Frank O'Hara's mainly love poetry.
You graduated from the International Institute of Modern Letters at Victoria University. How do you feel that that informed your writing?
That was kind of a really cool year for me because I had a really great teacher. I had Bernadette Hall, who was kind of taking over the MA class that I was in for a year, while Chris Price, who's the usual poetry teacher, kind of was away on a fellowship. And I got on really well with Bernadette Hall, and she kind of just gave me permission to be as silly and free as I like. And actually, none of the poems in my book were written during that year. Every single poem is one written after that. The other thing about that year is that it's a year of your life where you get to uninterrupted time to write, and you can't afford that if you're, you know, a young person. You know, you can't just kind of take a year out of your life unless you have kind of some institutional support. But it also kind of widened up my reading and made me kind of look at a lot of other work that I hadn't seen before, which kind of opened some doors for me.
Have you always written poetry?
I kind of grew up writing poetry. You know, when you're a kid, everyone in this country my age kind of had heaps of poetry modules and stuff at school. I feel like there was really, really a big focus on it in the curriculum. And then I kind of stopped for my teenage years. Like, I didn't write poetry then. And it wasn't until I was kind of going through and doing a bunch of writing, some of the undergraduate writing courses at Vic, that I kind of read some of the poets that kind of changed my understanding of what poetry could be and, I don't know, made me kind of excited again.
How do you feel about New Zealand poetry?
How do I feel about New Zealand poetry? When I was growing up, I kind of didn't have a lot of affinity for New Zealand poetry because you kind of don't read very much. I kind of always found it a bit boring in high school, but since kind of leaving high school, and now I work in a bookshop and, you know, I know kind of lots of poets in this country. There were lots of poets in New Zealand that I read and kind of love listening to, and more of them are kind of people who are just coming out now as well. Like, I've one of my favourite poets is a girl called Freya Daly Sadgrove, who hasn't even published a book yet. But you can see that New Zealand poetry is changing quite a lot as well. Like, I think that the New Zealand poetry that didn't really resonate with me when I was younger came from a kind of British background, whereas the Americans were that was the kind of poetry that I grew up loving. So
And who were some of those American poets?
Frank O'Hara was my big first kind of poet that I loved from the States. Emily Dickinson. There's lots of contemporary poets I really loved. Chelsea Minnis and Mark Leidner are my two big favourites. And Dorothy Alesky. And I'm just kind of, you know, my knowledge of the canon is really bad and, like, pretty shonky, but I'm just kind of starting to read some people like Louise Gluck and Tony Hoagland and stuff again. I don't know. Yeah, mainly the New York School were the first people I read that kind of, I don't know, they seemed fun and accessible and fresh to me.
You've said that you use a text randomizer in your work, and that must generate a whole bunch of phrases. How do you go about deciding if you'll end up using a certain phrase in a poem?
Well, it doesn't really generate phrases. What I do is I kind of use it to come up with images. So, like, I have a bunch of nouns that I use, and I stick them into this thing, and it just kind of jumbles them all up, and then I'll read through them, and whatever I think is kind of funny or surprising, I'll take out, and I've got like a huge draft full of these things. And I don't actually use very many of them, and I've kind of been using it less and less recently. But if I put something on that page and I still think it's funny 4 months later, I'll try and find a way to work it in somewhere.
That's brilliant. I love that. And so you have talked about that being with Gregory Kahn, that text randomizer, is that right?
Yeah, he built it. He, because it's always been something people have done in poetry. You know, I actually used to do it with paper and scissors before. But there weren't many of them on the internet, and the ones that were there were really bad. So eventually Greg got frustrated because we were both really into this, these kind of processes, and he built this amazing one from scratch because he's a coder, he works in tech. So yeah, it's just the best thing that exists on the internet for me, basically.
Tell me about the image on the cover of your book. It's funny, I asked this to Ashley Young last week, and her book has a iconic jacket on the front of it as well.
Yeah. Well, I knew I wanted a photo because I wanted it to kind of visually stand out from other books, and I wanted it to my ideal thing would have been to have like a photo that was like an Yvonne Todd photo. But I, you know, it was my first book, and I can't just call Yvonne Todd and ask her to take a photo of you for the cover of a book. So I kind of, but what I wanted, what I liked about her work was that kind of, like all of the women in her work kind of fragile, but a bit creepy as well. And I, so we got this photographer, a great photographer called Russ Klein, who does some stuff for VUP, and he came over and he found this yellow raincoat that was hanging on my wall, and he kind of got a bit obsessed with it. And so we took a bunch randomly out on the lawn just as he was leaving in this coat. So that the idea of the raincoat wasn't planned at all, but I like how it came out because it, you know, I've kind of wearing like this raincoat on like one of the hottest days of the year, and it makes me kind of, I don't know, I feel like that's a common theme that runs through my poems, you know, like being overly prepared for like drama when actually you know, things are going pretty well.
That's really, really good. Yeah. And you obviously named your book here Lindsay Bird. You've talked about being inspired by pop stars and said naming your first book by your name was part an homage to pop stars like Janet Jackson. What is it about pop stars that you connect with or relate to?
I don't know. I just, you know, I love pop music. I don't think it's much deeper than that. It was kind of funny because I was thinking about how you're supposed to market a book and all of the things that you should do, because all of the poems in my book, I kind of, when I was writing them, I was thinking really hard about all of the things that you are and aren't allowed to do in poetry and the things you can and can't say. And I kind of wanted the title and the cover to continue that theme as well. And I thought, you know, I thought just to call it something provocative would be a little bit boring, but at the same time I didn't want just kind of like a beautiful wistful title with like a nice watercolor picture on the front, and I can't remember, I think I was looking at you know now all of the books of poetry from kind of dead people are all that, you know, like the collection will just be like Frank O'Hara's collected works or the collected poems of Emily Dickinson. And I thought it would be kind of fun to be able to do that for a first book, you know, because it's a little bit arrogant, but it's kind of a good, it was a good joke to me. And I also, I think that the other thing is people are so careful about, you know, not assuming that all poets are writing about themselves. But my poems were really personal, and so I did want to give people permission to read it as a book about me too, so that kind of served a double purpose.
Yeah, and as you're writing, do you have anyone in mind you are writing to? Are you thinking about an audience at that time, or is it all just personal working through things?
It's definitely performative. Like, if people went, didn't, you know, if there was no one else in the world, I wouldn't write these kind of poems. I do kind of write for an audience, but at the same time, the audience is, you know, it's just my taste. It's what I think is interesting and kind of funny, and so it's, yeah, it's kind of, like, I kind of don't have any kind of particular idea of who I'm writing to. What I'm kind of more doing is, like, I think about the work of the poets that I like the most, and I'm kind of constantly always trying to, like, measure up to that, and then, of course, failing terribly, but, you know, that's kind of what I think about when I write.
During the process of writing a poem, when is it that you feel best?
I really enjoy writing, actually. Like, I know, you're kind of, you know, there's that, when writers give interviews, often they talk about writing as being a really excruciating process, and I suppose that's probably true for, like, you know, it's a lot harder if you're a novelist and you kind of have to, you know, really wade through a lot of, you know, you've got to really dig your heels in and to get a book done. But yeah, I don't know. I find the whole thing just endlessly entertaining. I don't know. I really enjoy writing. I write really bad poems when I'm miserable. Like, some people have, you know, kind of write well when I've got more things to work out. But I write best when I'm happy, and so that it means I write most when I'm happy too. So it's kind of become, yeah.
How do you feel about people's reactions to your work?
I've been really surprised and happy, you know, like, I really didn't expect it. So many people would read it, and my favourite thing is when, like, kind of young women and, like, teenage girls come and buy a copy off me at work or something. Like, that's so cool. I kind of thought that, you know, if you write poetry in New Zealand, you're kind of writing into the void, like, you're writing for other people who read poetry. But I don't know, somehow I managed to be able to kind of be read by people who don't usually read poetry. You know, a lot of people come and say to me, like, I didn't read poetry before I read your book, and that's really cool to me. And, it, you know, like, I think for all we were talking about before about, like, shock value, like, most people who don't like it have kind of kept it to themselves, you know. I know that a lot of people don't enjoy it, but not many people have kind of come out and said that to me directly.
Do you think that poets owe anyone anything?
As poets?
Yeah, in publishing poetry and writing poetry.
I mean, I think that everyone kind of, you know, who's doing any kind of artistic work, like, needs to operate under, you know, like a general rule of trying not to be, you know, as much of a cunt as possible. Oh, whoops, can I say that on air?
Yeah, that's fine.
But so that, like, for instance, there are some poems that I wouldn't write. So there are poems that I definitely wouldn't write, but I don't think there are poems that people should be writing at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now your book is nominated at the Auckland Book Awards. What does that mean to you?
It's really cool, actually. It's quite a, I have to say, it's quite a weird shortlist this year, and I really like all of the books that are on it. And it's also super nice to be nominated with Greg, who's my best friend, so we can just kind of go there and chill out and try not to be too terrified by the whole thing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.